that you have worked on our behalf. We thank you, God, for the way we can live our lives with you, and that you walk through every day with us. But Lord, as we look across our neighborhoods, and as we look across our city, we see desperate need. And Lord, I pray that you would work in me compassion. Compassion for those around me. Compassion for those who live in this city, for those who live in Dorsetville. God, I pray that you would awaken us, awaken me to the needs that surround me. Holy Spirit, we need you, and we need this compassion to be able to reach our neighbors, to be able to care for them, and not just walk by them on the other side of the road. Holy Spirit, I thank you for awakening in Derek this grief, sense of grief, that we live in the midst of people who are far from you. And I pray that you would disturb my heart about that, and that you would disturb my thinking about that, because what you have shown us is that you do care, and you do reach out, and you have given yourself for us and for this world. God, I pray for awakening in me, awakening in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I just want to recognize the hearts of the people here. We want to make you known to the lost. We want to make Jesus known. Lord, I also want to recognize the fear of man, and that how that can really just hinder us and just keep us from doing that. Lord, I just want to ask that you just break down that wall, break down that divider. Just the fear of, you know, what will people think if I talk about Jesus or ask to pray for someone. Lord, give us the boldness to make the smallest of steps into the unknown. Lord, and I know that you will bless that. Fear of unknown is a big thing as well. Comfort is, that's another one as well. Comfort, fear of the unknown. Lord, break down all of these barriers. And as a church, God, help us to encourage one another, to just push each other, to sharpen each other, You know, help us to just send a little text to someone. Just be like, hey, that friend you have, ask to pray for him. That's what we're here for. We're here to encourage each other. Jesus, show us how you did when you spent time with the lost. Show us how you did that. Lord, you have unending grace. Fill us with that grace so that we can give it to the lost and to our other, you know, believing brothers and sisters. Give us grace. God, just help us, embolden us. We thank you and just ask that you show up when we take these little steps. We ask for crazy things, unexplainable things. We ask for miracles, things that no one else can really explain other than to give you praise and glory. There are, there's 8 billion people in this world. There's a lot that still don't know you. There's people in our backyard that don't know you. They might say that they know the name. They really don't know. Maybe through bad experiences, they have a bittersweet taste in their mouth. Lord, use us to just show them who you are. Lord, just ask that you hear our prayers today.
Jesus, I thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that we have here at this church, that we have throughout the world. We thank you for the past. We thank you for the present. We thank you for what you are doing in the future. We thank you for everyone here today. We thank you for the members of this church who could not be here today but are still faithfully following after you. But Jesus, I feel like sometimes we have a tendency to just ask without any reflection or work on our part of understanding what you're doing in our life. We ask for a new thing, and we truly desire that you would do new things in this church and in our community. And we thank you for the promises that you will do a new thing. But I just ask that you would make us more aware of how revival doesn't come until we have repented of our sin. I just ask that you would reveal to us the places that we are building up walls that might show that we don't really want it or we aren't ready for it. I ask that you would show where there are places that you want to make a little bit less important for us or just completely get rid of them at all. Things that we are holding on to that you want to replace with your love. I ask that this church would be bold, not only in going out from this church into our community, but also just looking inside at what you want to do here with the people here and the people who are not here. I command any spirit of exclusivity or legalism to leave. In Jesus' name. And that instead, we would show the immeasurable love that you have for us and reflect it to others. Jesus, I ask that we would not build up these walls with others, and we would certainly not build up these walls with you. We're ready for what you want to do in our lives, in our church, even if it's not easy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you in prayer, and that we're able to. We thank you for our country, where we are able to bring requests before you. And Lord, as we think about our sphere of influence in our lives, the people that we meet, the people that we have the opportunity to tell about you, Lord, I even repent of fear of what people would think of me. Lord, I just pray that you would give us boldness to to speak to those, to tell them about you. Lord, give us a plan. Give us a vision for reaching our neighbors, for reaching the people that we see as we're out and about, the people that we see in our daily lives. Show us, give us that opportunity so that we will see great things happen, all for your glory, Lord. That people would know the love that we know, the surpassing greatness that you are in our lives, and they would see that in us, and you would place people of peace in our lives that are receptive to learning about you. Give us that opportunity, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Father God, I'm watching everything that's happening around the world, and as you said, the earth will moan, and the earth is moaning. The earth is crying. You are a living, breathing God. You are personable. And you do work miracles. You still work miracles. Just some people don't see it that way. I know one day you're going to wipe the scales from the Jews' eyes so they know that you are the Messiah, Jesus. The only miracle I want to see is that you wipe the scales from everyone's eyes. Your book is called the Bible, and I think it should be named the truth because it's the only truth there is. And unfortunately, in today's world where right is wrong and wrong is right, there is no truth and no one knows what truth is except the ones that actually listen to you. I just want to burst and tell everyone that you are the only way to live eternally joyful, happy, lovingly, compassionate. I just want to burst, and so I tried that with my sister, and she said that I always come, she said I'm not uplifting, that I am more fire and brimstone. And it's not that I want to be that way. I just know that your time to come back is soon. Time is running out. And I have an amazing urgency. To get all those that I love and care about on the narrow road. I am no better than them, except that I know who you are. I'm still a sinner. I still make my mistakes. But you get my attention really quick and I repent. You are an amazing God. And you gave us your precious spirit that lives inside of us. We can't forget about him. Because he's the one that is with us. Every day, every moment, trying to get our attention to turn us in the right directions and not be unkind and not be thoughtless or selfish or just to guide our hearts to be loving and kind like you, Jesus, like you, God, and like you, the Holy Spirit. So just like you, I want everybody to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to live the rest of eternity in pain, in suffering, it alone. It breaks my heart that the Jewish people who only know the Old Testament don't know your precious son because they love you so much, God. And it breaks my heart that if they don't wake up and see what you did for us, they won't get to go to heaven. It breaks my heart. So many children whose parents have never told them about Jesus. So I pray that this church, I pray that me, that you work through each and every one of us, starting with me, to be brave. But the thing is, God, I don't want to get in your way. I don't want it to sound like me. I need you to tell me what to say to people to get their attention. I need you so desperately to help me do that. Okay. Wake up the world. Let them know that you're coming back soon. Their time is really running out rapidly. Sweet Jesus. I just want to glorify your name. I just want to sing your name to everybody. And I wanted them to catch the tune and start loving you. You love us all unconditionally because we're all misfits. We all think we can do it on our own. We're smart. We went to school, whatever. But we can't. There's nothing we can do on our own because you know what? We can't even breathe on our own. We have to have you in your breath and our lungs so we can breathe. I love you, Jesus, so much. Please help me to glorify your name. Amen.
Dear Lord, we know that at the center of the issues that we're talking about is an issue of the heart. And what's in the way is what's in our minds. That's probably the most difficult journey that we have is that 12 inches that's from the mind to the heart. Some people don't have those thoughts. So we ask that those people have their minds open. And those that have the thoughts, that they become their attitude. An attitude that imitates your son. From that attitude, if it stops there, we ask for that to be changed to behavior so they act like Christians. And then that behavior take another step and it becomes action. So this is a call to action. Because we lift up our days to you and we truly want to be your ambassadors. But we know we cannot do it by ourselves. We know that you will help us if we ask, and we are asking now. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, you are moving and you are working today. Lord, today is a testimony and a testament to the fact that you still move, that your hands still comfort and guide. Lord, your servants are listening. Speak to us. Lord, we ask that you would make these truths practical to us this week. Lord, we have come before you, and at least in my case, with a bit of uncertainty and unclarity. Lord, I know that I want to love those unbelievers around me. But Lord, I don't in this moment know who exactly those people are. Lord, I don't know the exact names and faces that need to hear your word from me this week. And so, Lord, I ask that you would take these truths, take this desire in all of our hearts, from vague to concrete to practical. So, Lord, even now, even in this moment, would you put one or two or three people in each of our minds, people that we care for, people that we know, maybe even people we just met, that you would desire for us to share the gospel with this week, that you would desire for us to give your good news to this week. Lord, would you speak through us? Lord, we're told in your word that you will give us the words to speak, that you will give us what we are to say. So, Lord, may we not be captives to fear of tripping over our words, of not knowing the answers to the hard questions they're going to ask. Because, Lord, ultimately we give up control to you. Lord, we know with our minds that it is not us who does the converting work, but, Lord, it is your Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, would you work through us? Would you guide our words? Would you guide our thoughts? Would you prepare us, not just this morning, but in our private time with you, in our time of prayer, in our time in your word? Lord, would you prepare our hearts? Would you prepare our minds? Would you give us truths in your word to speak, truths that people need to hear? Because, Lord, even now we recognize that we are products of a miracle. Lord, the miracle of regeneration, your sovereign act that you have spoke truth to us through people. Lord, each of us has a testimony. Each of us has a story of your grace. Would you comfort us in our testimonies? Would you bring to mind those who have had significant spiritual talks with us? Lord, those who have shared your gospel faithfully when we were resistant, when our lives didn't match your will. Lord, those who so gently, so humbly shared your word with us. Lord, would you use their example not to glorify them, but to glorify yourself, that we may do the same. Lord, there is no joy like the joy of knowing that because of our faithfulness, because of our ministry, that you have used us to draw dead people to yourself. You have drawn those who are spiritually dead to find the river of life in your presence. Lord, do this through us. Even if they don't ever come to Dorseyville, even if they don't ever come to our church, Lord, we are not concerned with that. Lord, we are concerned with your gospel that is bigger than a building, bigger than any one church or denomination, but Lord, that your gospel would work and move and would strengthen churches all throughout our region, all throughout our world. So Lord, we ask again today, Work in our hearts. Work in us. Make us yours, we pray. In your name, amen. The time was good. I think that time was needed. And so thank you to all of you who prayed. I hope that you were ministered to by this time. I know that I was. And the Lord brought to your words many things that I needed to hear today. So thank you for that. And I think, looking at the time, I think it would be unwise to try and get through the normal sermon that I had planned for today. So I do just want to share some thoughts and some things from Matthew 28, looking at the Great Commission. You know, nothing groundbreaking, but I think a good reminder for us of our mission. But I want to begin in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. Jesus says this to his disciples on the night that he was betrayed in the upper room. As he's sharing his Last Supper with them, he's giving them just kind of a roadmap of what life's going to look like, gives them a little bit of insight into what the world is going to look like, knowing that their life is going to be flipped upside down over the next day and over the next few days. As they are witnesses to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, and then they are sent out. They know that everything will change. They don't know what it's going to look like. And Jesus gives them this command in John 15, verses 26 and 27. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify. For you have been with me from the beginning. So when the Advocate comes, him speaking here of the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And also Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Verses you probably don't need to look up. Verses you probably have memorized if you've been around an Alliance church especially. But any church for any length of time, you probably know these verses, the Great Commission. So Jesus came to them and said, this is speaking after his resurrection, his final commission before he ascends and before the church begins at Pentecost. He says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And this we see Jesus' last remarks to his disciples before he ascends, his last day with them. He gives them the commission of what they are to go and do. And I want us just very briefly to see those few commands that he gives. First, he says to go and to make disciples. Now, I think these are linked. I think that there is no making disciples without being intentional about it. I don't think this necessarily, as we might think about it, talks only about those who are willing to get on an airplane, only those who are willing to cross a border to go and share the gospel. But I think the reality for us is that we are part of the nations, and there are people in our nations that need to us to go to them and make disciples of them. So this speaks of us preaching the gospel to them, telling the good news of God's perfect plan, God's perfect design, that this world was created good by God for us to be in relationship with him, but that because of our sin, the sin of our first father Adam, and our sin that comes from that sin, the sin that is in each one of us, that there is brokenness, separation between God and man. And there is only one way for that separation to be bridged, only one way for that gap to be shortened and to be narrowed to the extent that God can pull us into his presence. And that is through Christ, who, as he is saying these words, just made a way for salvation. And so Jesus is saying, take this way of salvation, take this gospel, this good news that I have bridged the gap between perfect, holy God and sinful, broken man who is unable to save themselves, and say that I have bridged this gap so that there may be reconciliation. So he calls his people by calling them to make disciples, to call people to be reconciled to God. And we saw this the last few weeks. We saw that we were once far off, that we were alienated from the people of God. We were alienated from the promises of the covenants. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But because of God's mercy, we were made right with God. Not that we can be sinlessly perfect in this life, but that he has forgiven our sins past, present, and future. And we are to go now and to share that good news with those around us, those in the supermarket, those in the restaurants, those in the parks, those in the clubs that we go to, the things that we do on the weekends. We are to go and make disciples. And we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we're to call them to organize with us as they have believed in Christ into churches, that they may be baptized, that they may learn to obey all that he has commanded us. This is how we orient our church, to invite people in to be baptized and to learn. Our churches exist so that the Great Commission may be fulfilled. They're not for us to be entertained. They're not for us to be educated so that we can know more and feel better about ourselves or any other of those purposes. Not so that we can just enjoy fellowship, but because the Great Commission must be fulfilled. Because God in Christ, through his Spirit, has chosen for local churches to be the means by which the Great Commission is fulfilled, as he calls people to be baptized into local churches so that they may be taught to obey everything that he has commanded them, and then he gives us the promise of his presence. And I think this is what changes everything. You know, it's easy to tack on at the end of verse 20, and surely I'm with you to the end of the age is almost a throwaway promise, a throwaway line. But see, I think if we are truly going to be faithful to what we prayed for today, to go and to share and to make disciples in the power of the Spirit, I think we need that last line. I think we need the presence of Jesus. And I think that's why he's also told his disciples, like in John 15, that there will be an advocate with them. And the reason I want to focus on John 15, this passage again, John 15, 26 and 27, as we close today. Because it's very easy when we're here and when we're not saying anything to feel convicted, to feel that power, to feel the empowerment of the Spirit to say, I'm ready to go. And then we step outside. And then there's someone face to face with us saying something like, well, how do you know that your God is right? Or where was your God whenever my grandfather passed? Or whenever my sister got cancer? Or whenever I went through any one of those things? So the reality is we might not have the words to speak. And the bad news is no matter how much learning we have, it doesn't get easier. It is just as hard, I can say from my own experience, to share the gospel now with 8 years, 9 years of theology classes, 5 years of serving in churches, 7 years in full-time ministry. It's just as hard now to share the gospel as it was in 2018 whenever I started all of this, which is why we need to hear these words. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So see what he says we should do. We must testify. This is not optional. This is not something that is added on after 5 or 10 years of being a Christian. This is something that is mandatory for us. We must testify to Christ. But the power that is at work is not our testimony. The power at work is the work of the Holy Spirit. He will testify even as you are testifying. I couldn't find the passage, but I know that there's somewhere in John that talks about that he will bring to mind all that Jesus has taught us, that he will give us the words to speak when there are those who are accusing us. He will be working. And this is good news for us. Because if he is working, our work will not be in vain. You know, every Sunday before I get up to preach, I think through the words of Isaiah 55:11. My words will not come back void, but they will do the purpose for which I sent them. So friend, if you are here and you are feeling this desire, know Christ, be with him, follow him, and trust him. Not just on Sunday morning, but whenever you're face to face with someone who wants to be resistant to the gospel, someone that you care for that does not care for Christ. Trust in the Spirit of God. He will testify about Christ. That is our hope in evangelism. That is our hope in sharing the gospel. May we hold on to that hope with everything we have for the sake of Christ and for the sake of those who do not yet know him. Now Leah and the team is going to come forward, and they're going to lead us in one final song, and then we will go. So friends, may we go when we go in the spirit of the Great Commission, going out not just to spend our week however we will, however we want, but going intentionally that we may share the gospel in whatever we do and wherever we are, that God may be glorified and that people may be saved.